You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Another good golfing week with three events this week, a couple on the European Tour and one in Mexico, the Mayakoba Classic on the PGA Tour this week. Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall with you as per usual to dissect these three events. First of all, a good morning to you, Dave.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Ready for a earlier start than normal this week.
Should be a good week with that Golf in Dubai Championship taking place Wednesday to Saturday to tie in with the weekend in Dubai, and we'll get onto that in due course. Just a quick line on last week, though, first of all. Going into the back nine of the Alfred Dunhill Championship, we both had opportunities for winners, didn't we, really, with Jaden Treschaper and Adrian Aus, both in contention in tough conditions at the Alfred Dunhill Championship. It went a little bit pear-shaped late in the day, didn't it, to be honest? But happy to grab a full place with Shaper at 66-1. And we were paying eight places last week as well, so you got a good chunk from Adrian Aus as well. Hopefully some people out there took advantage of those two tips, Dave.
Yeah, especially your one at 66s. And you'd like to think maybe people listen to our lengthy chat on Christian Bezuidenhout, because we did say, didn't we, that he was the value kind of compared to Stone, at least.
Yeah, the top of the betting market. Yeah.
So he did it properly, didn't he? Looking at his stats, first in the all-around, 10th driving accuracy, second greens in reg, second strokes gained putting. So a proper win for Bezuidenhout. And some player, isn't he?
Yeah, I think it showed the benefit of not only class but experience in the tough conditions on the back nine on Sunday. I think he might have been able to draw on the fact that he's won at Valderrama, holding off Jon Rahm convincingly. Yep. That had to be a factor. And the ability to handle the speed of those greens as well. They were lightning quick on Sunday in particular. If it'd been like that for the first 3 days, I know Thursday was difficult as well, but it would have been a tournament won with a roundabout level par, wouldn't it? The conditions on Sunday were just brutal, I thought.
Yeah, definitely. I did hear him say at the Masters he played a practice round with Schwartzel and Oosthuizen and his fellow South Africans, and they told him to treat that course now differently to what it used to play since they redid it with Bermuda.
That's interesting.
So I think that was quite a nice mindset for him to have, not to kind of be spooked by this didn't used to be like that. He went into it playing it as the course he sees it as now, so I think that maybe helped him a little bit.
Definitely. And I loved the commentary team, to be honest. All week I thought it was tremendous. I watched a lot of Saturday, and I thought it was a superb watch. Dynamic in the commentary box, Alison Whittaker, Richard Boxall, and the incomparable at this tournament anyway, Tony Johnston. It felt like it became a bit of an experience rather than just watching the golf, which I really enjoyed, and I thought it was something worth mentioning.
Yeah, it's definitely, it was sort of like two for one, wasn't it? You were getting a golf tournament and the kind of look into the wider picture of nature and everything. So yeah, very, very enjoyable.
And you were jumping in the cart, weren't you, and going around the national park as well at some points, which was good fun. I thought it was a superb watch and a superb tournament as well, and a worthy winner, as you mentioned, in Christian Bezuidenhout. And I suppose we don't know if he's reached the limit of his abilities yet, do we, either?
Well, no, so with those stats, it seems he can do everything well. So, and still, obviously, it always comes up, his backstory, where he swallowed rat poison as a little kid, developed that stutter, which we obviously still see him in interviews, and you're kind of willing him on, aren't you? And he's just a great guy, nice guy. Everyone speaks well about him, and hopefully he can kick on. And I mean, we've seen this pathway, haven't we, with South Africans. They tend to go on and win majors and win big events. So I think you know, it's reasonable to think, given the way they kind of breed them tough, that he can go on and now really get his get a challenge in for a major pretty soon, to be honest, I would say.
Okay, let's talk about this week then. Three events to preview. The first one is the Golf in Dubai Championship, and here with William Hill, joint favourites, Bernd Wiesberger and Robert McIntyre, both 12-1. Martin Kaymer is 14s. Matt Wallace and Thomas Dietrich, both 16-1. 18-1 for Thomas Peters. 22-1 for Andy Sullivan and Aaron Rye. 25-1 Adrian Ouse. And 28-1 and bigger the remainder for this championship in Dubai. And as you mentioned earlier, the first point of note here is this tournament runs from Wednesday to Saturday, so make sure you get your bets on in good time. And there's no real course form to speak of either. The fire course in Dubai is being used for this event. I'm sure the course will have many traits with the earth course, which is going to be used for the DP World Tour Championship again next week. Similar length, same grasses, desert course. And most of these desert courses, Dave, display similar characteristics. It does make this event a little bit trickier to attack because it's impossible to know exactly how the course is going to play.
Yeah, as you say, I would lean a lot on past desert form. I did get a very helpful email, actually, well, a DM from GolfingGods1 on Twitter, who very kindly contacted me. The guy there, he's a member at Jumeirah Golf Estates, so he knows about all the courses there. And what he wrote to me was, the fire course is more open and more exposed if windy. I'm not sure it's going to be that windy, possibly this week. He says, I think it's a few shots easier than the earth, plus a few easy holes out there, especially three of the par fives. Mm. The par threes could all be over 200.
Okay.
So a little bit of info there. So it looks like you're going to make your score on the par fives and maybe hang on those par threes.
Interesting. That's nice that someone's contacted you on Twitter with that information. I've just got the one pick for the event and one pretty strong mention as well for the tournament. How have you attacked this, Dave?
Well, in very exciting scenes, given the fact that we've got three events on this week, I'm going to put up a treble.
Are you?
Across all three, yes.
Okay, starting with?
We've talked about it in the past, haven't we? At this time of year, you tend to get the favourites winning out. We've seen that in, well, it wasn't quite favourite, but someone right at the front end of the market in Buzz Weidenhut last week. Got his nose in front. So for this one, I'm going to play it fairly simple and go with Martin Kaymer.
Okay, 14-1.
He's got a fantastic record, as we know, in the desert. He's won the Abu Dhabi Golf Championship or come in the top 3, 4, 5, 6 just for virtually about every year he ever plays it. So fantastic form in the desert, Kaymer. He's also played, there was an interview with him, he's also played the fire course a couple of times. He said, I've played the fire a couple of times, literally he said that, during practice with my coach and my family. I like it a lot as it's a completely different challenge to the earth, he says.
Oh, that's interesting.
Another little insight there. Mm. So I think it may be more of a coastal feel, other little bits of form in the region. He played quite well in Saudi Arabia, maybe that'll have some similarities. Back in February. I don't think the earth course is his absolute favourite. He's had 6 top 20s there, but I think the fire might just play more into his hands than that one. In terms of current form, 5th in Italy on his last start, 10th at Wentworth was a good knock, and then he had those two events, didn't he, where he probably should have won a couple of starts before that, where he was 2nd and 3rd. So loads of good form from Kaymer. And obviously, we said we've got these little hints about how the course will play. The smart thing, surely, is to play with someone with a proven desert record, and I thought Kaymer stood out. So what is he, 14-1?
He is.
So he's leg one of the treble. Whether you play these as singles or just as an each-way chance, that's up to you, listeners, but I'm going to put him as part of a big-priced treble.
And is he your only selection in here?
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of others who you can look at and think, well, they've got a good chance, but nothing particularly excited me price-wise, I have to say. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I've got one pick. Fabrizio Zanotti is my sole selection in this event at 60-1, which I thought was a fair price for Zanotti. You mentioned The need for desert form. He's got some good desert form last year, in fact. He was second in Oman and followed that with an 11th in Qatar. Qatar's pretty exposed as a desert track as well, so I thought that was maybe a fair correlation here. But he tends to string his form together throughout his career, Zanotti. You'll see him have real dry spells and then just pop onto the scene with back-to-back top 10s, top 20s, and I thought it was very encouraging how he performed last week in South Africa, finishing 11th. I know he's got a quick turnaround to play on Wednesday in Dubai, but hopefully he'll be able to carry that form over. He ranked first in approach last week in the Alfred Dunhill Championship, second tee to green, and only the putter prevented him from it being a really strong week for the Paraguayan. And I'm drawn to that form in the desert, so I thought 60-1 for him to continue with the same sort of ball striking he showed last week was pretty fair. So he's my sole selection at 60-1 for Fabrizio Zanotti this week in Dubai.
Yeah, it's a decent shout. Of those, you kind of start to think about players who might get the each-way places, and they're all a bit cramped. But yeah, he was one I looked at who was just that, yeah, the other side of 50-1 that looked quite good. In terms of more the front end, I've said Keimer. I think Thomas Peters might have a big chance this week if he can get it together. One of these ones who you have that little goes well when fresh symbol next to him.
Yeah,
he's played some great golf in this part of the world, especially in Abu Dhabi. And we saw him lead the US Open, didn't we, for a while after some good form in Celtic Manor, where he was third and 15th. Went a little bit flat at Wentworth after that, but I think he's had a few weeks to rest up, and this is definitely his type of course.
Yeah, I liked Alex Levy as well. Levy's got some really good. Yeah, he's 45-1. He's just been clipped in a few points, Alexander Levy, but he was tied sixth in the Alfred Dunhill Championship, and it clearly meant a lot to him last week. It was strange seeing him on the coverage. I don't know if you saw that on Saturday and Sunday, but lots of fist pumps, was getting into it, Alexander Levy, and that came on the back of that seventh in the Cyprus Showdown. And you look through some of his desert form, it's pretty good. He was fourth in the Dubai Desert Classic in 2018. He was fifth in the Saudi in 2019, and he finished fourth in Oman in 2018. So he's got some good finishes in the desert. And I thought Levy returning to something like his best form, 45-1 was a fair price.
Yeah, I agree. I think something's clicked, hasn't it, again with him after a bit of a spell in the doldrums. And when he's on, isn't he? So knows how to win. So, yeah, I'd like that.
Anything else worth mentioning before we move on?
I think at the very front end, Robert McIntyre is playing great. But 12-1 just looks short, doesn't it, you have to say. No, probably it, to be honest.
Yep.
So we're slightly fishing around in the dark, so maybe, you know, take a look after round one and see how it's playing.
Let's talk about the South African Open then. This is an event I've had a look at personally, Dave, but I know you have, so we'll spin you through the betting and you can give us some detail of what to expect this week. 7-1, Christian Bezuidenhout is the favourite at 7s. Dylan Fratelli is 9-1. Brandon Stone, 14s. Wilco Nienaber is 14-1. Matthias Schwab is 20s. Just before him in the betting, in fact, Scott Jamieson is 18-1. 20-1 Schwab, and Norris is 20-1 as well. George Kutsaya and Joost Luiten, both 25s, along with Johannes Veerman. And it is bigger the rest, including Jordan Schaper, who's in there at 28-1. This week. Dave, it's a different dynamic for the South African Open because it's a weaker field than we come to anticipate. And although we've got course form, a lot of that course form shown at the Nedbank Challenge is when we've got elite field. So it'll be interesting to see how some of these players either seen the golf course for the first time or not as experienced, having not taken part in the Nedbank Challenge in the past, get on this week. And they've switched the nines around, haven't they, as well, which is interesting because that ninth hole's iconic and it's now the finishing hole on this layout, which it looks like a good move to me.
Yeah, definitely. Gary Player, the course designer, saying very much the same, that, you know, he said the course was designed to have that as the finishing hole, the finishing stretch. He said the last three holes actually will be really tough. And yeah, plenty of course form because of previous events played there. But I think there'll be a big awareness of the home players that this is the South African Open. It's their Open.
Mm.
If you look at recent additions, I looked at the last well, going back 6 years, you've got three South African winners and three English winners. That's how it's been split. And the South African winners, Brandon Grace, Louis Oosthuizen, and Brandon Stone. So you're not getting a local kind of Sunshine Tour player with no pedigree going to win this. I think if you are looking for the winner, you need to be looking at the front end. Unfortunately, a lot of them, I don't know why they don't play anymore. They had some row or something. Why didn't Oosthuizen and
I've no idea.
Schwartzel? And there was a while where they didn't play in it, and you thought, I'm not quite sure why. But yeah, it's a bit of a shame that it's not got the best guys there. But in terms of a bet then, that I've kind of mentioned him already, and we talked about this time of year favourites going. I'm just going to go with Bezuidenhout again.
Okay.
As kind of unimaginative as that sounds, as the idea is that you need a classy one to win it, and he's one of the few in the field. You've got Dylan Fratelli, who played so well at the Masters as well. But I think Bezuidenhout, he's had a little run, hasn't he? Because he was 15th at the Joburg Open, then won last week without kind of being in front all the way or anything. So I don't think he used up loads of mental energy there. And he was 38th at the Masters. So he's had this nice run of form, and hopefully he can keep it going. He's played it a few times and got better each time. He was 24th in last year's Ned Bank. So that's kind of akin to what his form was at the Alfred Dunhill last week. It wasn't sensational course form, but there was enough there to think, well, he can play this. And I think he'll be just, I think I've been swayed as well by his numbers last week. Everything looked good.
Yeah, yeah.
I was not thinking, oh, he just needs to tighten up there. I think he'll be walking tall ahead of this event, and he would be a deserved winner. So even though he's a short price, he's kind of a price where I can put him in a treble, that kind of thing. So he's the second leg of my treble at 7-1.
How about this? 7-1, Christian Bezuidenhout, the second bet for Dave in that treble. Any others you want to mention before we move on? It's not an event, as I mentioned, I've had a look at.
No, I think if you'd... I said six last winners, three South African, three Englishmen. If you go a couple of further years back, you've got a couple of Scandinavians in there, or you could class them as continental European. So I think Loughton and Matthijs Schwab are decent each-way bets at 20s and 25s in this kind of field. I would expect them to come to the fore. They've not been in sensational form, but you know they've got pedigree, and there's hints of form with both of them. Loughton's got to try and get into the top 60 for next week in Dubai, so he's got extra incentive. So it wouldn't be at all surprising if those two certainly help fill out the top 10 and maybe get some each-way money too.
Yeah, I think Schwab will go well. I just worry about the putter because he looked a little bit yippy last week in the Alfred Dunhill Championship, and that's, I think, going to be difficult for him to overcome this week. His overall putting stats were fine, but having watched some of the putts that he missed on Saturday, I'd be a little bit concerned. And I prefer Loughton out of those two. I think he's he could be a decent bet at 25-1. But as I mentioned, not looked in detail at that event. Let's move on to the Mayakoba Classic then on the PGA Tour this week in Mexico. And I'll spin you through the betting. For the Mayakoba Championship, and looking forward to this week because we've got plenty of course form to have a look at as well, and it's a good field. There's a little bit of class in this field with Justin Thomas at the top of the market here with William Hill, and Justin Thomas is 13-2, 11-1 Brooks Koepka, 16-1 Harris English, 18-1 Abraham Anser, 18-1 Tony Finau as well, 20-1 for Daniel Berger and Victor Hovland, 25-1 Russell Henley, 30-1 Ricky Fowler and Will Zalatoris, and 33-1 Corey Connors and Joaquin Neiman, 35-1 and bigger the remainder. The tour moves to Mexico for this event, tracked at a decent field. Dustin Johnson has withdrawn, citing the need for rest and recuperation as the reason behind that withdrawal, but there is some quality in this field. And El Camaleon Golf Club hosts again this week. It's hosted the tournament since it began back in 2007. It's a Greg Norman design, a coastal resort, and it's a short course measuring around about 7,000 yards and playing to a par of 71. All three par fives on the layout are reachable, and as you can see from the list of winners here, The type of player suited to this test is evident. Fred Funk, Brian Gay, Mark Wilson were the first three winners. Since then, Graham McDowell, Matt Kuchar and Brendan Todd have all won here. Iron play and putting, the real key focuses this week. And the Paspalham greens are worth mentioning as well. They can get a little bit grainy and are slow. I think that's another area to focus on. It's a positional golf course off the tee and then attack with irons and putting, and the wind can be a factor as well, Dave. But you see with that roll call of winners that it's a golf course where plotters and plodders have had success.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's almost yet another one of these events.
It does seem that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, we talked about the last one, the RSM Classic, and you got Streber, previous winner, against Kisner, who's a specialist in these type of events and courses, contesting the playoffs. So, there's again, it would seem, a lot of contenders. Although, actually, I couldn't land on that many. I don't know, maybe there wasn't as many. I seem to have them coming out of my ears for the RSM. I don't think there's quite as many in the field this week. I looked, he's not playing. So I've got two bets. I've got one for the final leg of my treble, and I've also got just an each-way bet at a slightly bigger price. How about you?
I've got a couple of bets for this event, one that I'm very confident on as well. It's worth mentioning as well, here with William Hill, we are top price guaranteed on the top 10 in the betting. And we are paying 8 places as well. So that's the same concession we ran for the Alfred Dunhill Championship last week. So if you do fancy one of the top 10 in the betting, make sure you get your bet on with William Hill. And I do fancy one of the top 10 in the betting here. Shall I lead off?
You lead off, yeah. I'm intrigued. Is this your super confident one?
It's my confident one, this one, yeah. Right. A couple of points each way. Daniel Berger is my selection. I think he's the best bet this week. He's already a winner on tour this season. I can't think of a better setup for Berger than this one this week. The driver has been really hurting him recently, but having the chance to club down off the tee will definitely be beneficial for Berger. And in my opinion, he should be ahead of Harris English and Abraham Anser in the market. He's got lots of form on courses that correlate well with this one, having finished third at Harbourtown, fifth at Pebble Beach, as well as winning at Colonial this season. He's only played this tournament once. That was way back in 2014. He finished 51st. The positive there, though, is that he opened with a 65 and closed with a 67. And, of course, he's a much, much better player now. He's gained strokes on approach in 12 of his last 13 starts. And he's a very aggressive putter, which I think suits these slow greens, the Paspalham greens, down to the ground. And there's another little piece of form that stands out, I think, and that's the second place finish at the Puerto Rico Open back in 2019. Not a measured event, but he finished second, and importantly, that event's played on Paspalham greens as well, and I think that's very much a worth factoring in this week. I think he'll want to finish what has been a career year for him with a bang this week as well, Berger. He's not going to be happy with just one PGA Tour win this season. I think he's going to get two this week, so Daniel Berger, quite a confident selection for me at 20s.
Okay, I've got to justify my pick even more now than what you've said.
And last leg of the treble, this.
Yeah, and I do confess and admit that I do feel like I'm paying a Mexican tax on this by picking Abraham Anser.
I think he will. I mentioned that I thought Berger should be ahead of him in the betting. I do think Anser will go well this week.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just because he's Mexican and he's playing in Mexico, therefore he must do well. But it's the record behind it, isn't it? So he started to really find his feet in this event. Struggled maybe early on, although 2016, and obviously he was a lesser player then. He did open with 65-68, which thought, oh, okay, that's... can turn it on. Fell away on the weekend, but then he came back the next year, shot a 65 in round three and finished ninth. Was going really well the following year, 2018, and just didn't get it done in the final round, 21st, and then eighth last year. So he's got an eighth and a ninth in two of his last three editions. Last four times he's played, well, the last four runnings of it, he's carved out at least 165. He's got another 66 right in there. So he can go low consistently on this course. And obviously, the last time we saw him, he was brilliant at the Masters for 3 days and then just found it a bit all too much in the final round. But that was a fantastic... It was his debut, wasn't it, the Masters?
Yep.
So 13th on debut at Augusta, when some said that course was probably too long for him. that followed a couple of decent efforts in the Zozo and the CJ Cup. Then he was fourth in Vegas before that. In terms of his stats, very straight hitter of the ball. You look at his driving accuracy stats these last four events, fifth, first, fourth, 14th. Greens in reg, he was third at Augusta, so that's all good. It's just whether he can get the putter going. It does seem a little bit hit and miss, but he was second for strokes gained putting in Vegas, gained 8.325 shots with a flat stick. So again, maybe, you know, 18 to 1 if this was your only bet of the week each way. That's okay. But as part of a treble, I feel I can justify paying the Mexican tax a little bit more. So I may as well give you the price on that treble because I know you're all on tenterhooks.
Yes.
So individually, they don't look so great. But sort of when you top them up, it starts to look a bit more appealing. So you've got Buzz Wiedenhout in the South African Open at 7 to 1. You've got Abraham Anser at 18 to 1 in Mayakoba. And you've got Martin Keimer in Dubai. That adds up, drum roll, to 2,279 to 1 treble.
Wow. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
It would be nice, wouldn't it? I'd probably do it each way. I mean, you're not going to get huge amounts back each way.
Would you do some sort of tricks there and do the doubles and the treble?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at, that's the first option if you go into the. Tot it up on the William Hill website. Yeah, you can put in a Trixie for that. That's four bets, obviously. Patent as well, you could maybe look at.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Patent seven bets, Trixie four bets. Some sites, any combinations of those, but obviously I will put it up as a treble.
Okay.
Because so that's 2,279 to one. I'm sure you can... I'll find a couple of pounds in your Christmas budget to have that, and then what a payout that could be.
Could be. I know you've got another selection for the event as well. I have two. I fancy Scott Piercy as well as my second selection at 60 to 1. Pretty straightforward pick, combination of knowing the course well and it playing to his strengths, his ability to handle wind and his recent form improving. Those are the factors behind the pick for Piercy. He finished 19th at the Shriners and was superb with iron in hand. He ranked first in strokes gained approach in that event and was brilliant around the greens on his latest start at Sea Island en route to an 18th place finish at the RSM. The putter consistently holds him back, but judging by his results here, it's not been as much of an issue on these slower greens. I think they help Piercy. He's finished 16th, 4th, 6th and 26th in his last four starts at the Mayakoba, and with that recent upturn in form, he looks a decent bet at 60 to 1, and if it is windy, that will play into his hands too. He's a good wind player. So Scott Piercy at 60 to 1 is my second selection.
Yeah, very good. I've got a 60 to 1 shot as well, actually. Adam Long.
Yeah, he was one of three names on my shortlist.
Okay. Long on your shortlist. There you go. So for some of the reasons we've already discussed, you mentioned the Corrales Punta Cana. Well, Long was fifth there. Middle rounds of 65, 64. I think we all thought he was going to win that. He sort of blew up in the final round, but don't think that's kind of what he does, because this is the guy who won on his sixth PGA Tour start, the career builder, or whatever you call it now, back at in California, back in 2019. Since then, he's had a second in the 3M Open and a second in this very event last year. 63, 69, 67, 66 long shot at El Chameleon last year. Seems to like Mexico as well. Looking at a bit of his Corn Ferry form, he was sixth in the El Bosque Mexico Championship and 15th as well in that same event in two of his three appearances there. So likes coming to Mexico. In some good form as well, 11th in the Houston Open, 30th all four rounds in the 60s at the RSM. So lots to like about Adam Long. And the other thing I think we've said here, greens and regulation is important.
Yeah.
Last two events, Houston Open, RSM. He's been in the top eight for greens and reg in both. So lots to like about Adam Long. And I like the price, 60 to 1. He was the one who I thought was a genuinely good price at around that kind of area in the betting.
Okay. Any others you want to mention?
Um, Do you?
Anyone
close? Yeah, you said three on your shortlist.
Yeah, the only other two on my shortlist were Emiliano Grillo, who I thought would go well this week, and Joaquin Niemann. If the wind does get up, I think he'll play well. But those two were just a bit skinny in the betting for me. That's why I settled on Piercy, and obviously really like Berger as well. But Grillo and Niemann would be honourable mentions, along with your selection there, Adam Long, who was the third name on the list away from the two that I've had bets on this week.
Yeah, when I was going down the prices, that's why I kind of went, they were all sort of like 18s, 20s and stuff like that. The only one maybe, even though he's probably short as well, was Will Zalatoris.
Yeah, I looked at him. I don't think it's an ideal layout for Zalatoris. I don't think plays perfectly to his strengths anywhere.
Well, you say, and I know what you're saying, but if you look at his form on maybe Corsi, we would say were offered some correlation. He was 8th at Corrales Punta Cana and 16th at the Bermuda Championship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just a very
sign that he can play well everywhere.
He's just a very good player, isn't he? And I think he'll show that in the upcoming couple of years, definitely.
He went off favourite in one of those events,
didn't he?
I think
he did. Yeah,
He's 30-1 here. Obviously, he's up against people like Thomas and Koepka. I have to say, I was tempted just to throw Thomas in as part of my treble.
Over answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see
maybe
where he's staying, Thomas, this week? It looks
just because he's so good.
Yeah,
he wins at this time of year a lot.
He does. He does. He's kind of the right price, though, I think, Thomas.
Yeah,
I must
admit. Yeah.
How do you think Koepka will play this week? Do you think he's going to be fired up, given that Dustin Johnson won the Masters?
Yeah, and Koepka had a good Masters, didn't he? To be fair, and you know, he feels fine physically again. He can only really look at his results to see whether it's just hot air that he's coming out with. But 5th at Houston Open, 7th at the Masters, I think he's definitely coming back to something pretty good.
He looks like he looks a lot fitter to me.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
He seems to have been spending, when he was at his absolute best and winning major championship after major championship, he was physically trim, wasn't he? And then he kind of let himself go a little bit. But he seems to that gym work seems to have increased over the last 2 months again.
Yeah, he can obviously fit enough to get back in the gym and put pressure on on his body again. So. Yeah, you'd argue that he's just, I don't know, is he a better, Thomas is more likely to win, and that's reflected in the betting.
Yeah.
Is Koepka bettable at 11s or not really? I mean, he's played the course only once and missed the cut, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
2013. It doesn't sort of jump out that you could almost see him being around 10-1 if he'd got great course form, so. Not for me, really.
Okay, let's recap the selections then for this week. You might as well lead off with that treble, Dave.
Yeah, so that treble again. Oh, God, my bet slip's gone empty. Where's it gone? What a time for this to happen. Didn't I read it out once before?
You did. It's around about 2000-1. I just wanted to recap the picks, really, Dave.
Yeah, so it was Weeden Hoot in South Africa, Keimer in Dubai, and Anser in Mexico.
Yeah, and your other bet as well for this week is in the Mayakoba.
Just as a standalone bet, Adam Long each way at Mayakoba at 60-1. So I'll have a point each way on Adam Long, and then the treble, a point each way on that treble.
Yeah, and if you do want to play it as doubles in the treble, I think that would be wise as well, listeners. I'm going with just the one selection in Dubai, Fabrizio Zanotti, a point each way at 60-1, and two picks in the Mayakoba Classic, 2 points each way, Daniel Berger at 20-1, and a point each way, Scott Piercy at 60-1. Dave, thank you for your company.
Thanks, Dave. We're back, aren't we, next week for the season ender in Dubai?
Last week of the golf podcast for this year. Next week, the DP World Tour Championship is on the agenda. They take a month's break, don't they, on the PGA Tour, and they'll resume with the Tournament of Champions, I presume, in the new year.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's about 4th, 7th of January, something like that, in America. Yeah, but a time to take stock and maybe we'll have a think about our anti-post bets for the majors.
That'd be good. If you want to follow us both on Twitter, please do, at Dee Kellner and at Dave Tyndall Golf for the Twitter handles for you to get in touch with us. Make sure you check out all that betting at williamhill.com and on the app, and take advantage of that concession in the Mayakoba Classic as well. Top price guaranteed on the top 10. Plus, we are paying 8 places each way here with William Hill as well. Thank you for tuning into the Golf Podcast. Myself and Dave will be back for the final time in 2020 next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.